100 word stories.
Welcome to the 100 word stories podcast at 1adayuntilthedayidie.com. It's a Sunday, so it's a time for the weekly challenge. I post a topic, and you come up with the stories on that topic. This week's topic is again. We have a lot of stories this week, so let's just get started. First up is a tale by John Musico. John, let's just hear your story.
Ain't No Sunshine by John Musico. The song Ain't No Sunshine nearly ruined my start in college. During the very first exam, that song came to mind. I had to let it cycle through in its entirety that was so long. Well, I know, 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 I know. Leave that girl alone, and a house just ain't no home. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Oh. Well, then it cycled again, over and over. I failed. I shared my dilemma with my best friend's father. He was a physician. He prescribed Valium.
Thank you, John Musico. The next author is Jeffrey. Let's just hear what he came up with for this week. Jeffrey, tell us your stories.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here with some stories for week 410. I hope that Mr. Simon enjoyed his week off with his robot for a substitute. And so anyway, on with the stories for this week. My first story is called Perfect Practice. I once had a high school teacher who doubled as a football coach. He enjoyed repetitive drills, both on the field and in the classroom. Each year he would give the same motivational speech to his classes. People say that practice makes perfect, but that's wrong. Perfect practice makes perfect. Then he would make us do the drill again. But sir, I asked, if perfection belongs only to God, then we can never practice perfectly. Shouldn't we just go home? By that time in my academic career, my parents recognized the principal's telephone number when she called. Well, I'll have to say that one was at least partially autobiographical. Only partially. Anyway, my second story is called Forecast. I used the MacBook to check the weather forecast. The snow continues to fall, and the forecast still calls for a foot of the stuff by tomorrow. I angrily slammed the cover shut. The cat walks to the front door, sees the snow, and meows, striding back to the warm couch with a disdainful look. This is the fourth time today she has made such a check. I turn to the cat and tell her, they say that madness is doing the same thing again and again while expecting different results. You, cat, are definitely mad. The cat stares back as I open the MacBook and refresh the forecast. Still predicting a foot of snow. Damn it. I slam the top back down. Again. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Next up is Richard. And he has a few stories for us this week. How about we take a moment to listen? We can take two if you'd like.
Good morning. Strangely uninspired this week, which will become more obvious as I tell my stories. Only two. The first one is George's story, part 47. It's called Time to Change. Tea and biscuits aside, George was acutely aware that he seemed to have lost control of his life. Up until his accident, he'd been a control freak, knew exactly what he was doing, and tended to be the one calling the shots. Since then, things had gone downhill, and he wasn't enjoying being pushed around by circumstance. He thought back to how he'd overcome his fears to break out of the hospital, and then risen to the challenge at Fort Hope. It was time to take charge again of his life, and maybe those of these helpless victims around him. And my second story is called The Same Old Story. So, here I am once again, facing the same old challenge in exactly the same way as I face it every single time. And every single time it's like this, again and again and again. My mind goes blank, my thoughts wander, distractions creep in, and the clock ticks incessantly onwards. Here I am, once again, bereft of ideas, lacking inspiration, frustrated, annoyed, and perplexed, wondering why I'm putting myself through this yet again. And then, without warning or fanfare, I start to write the words. And as always happens, despite all expectations, a story is finally written once again. And until next week, I shall say goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. Tom has some updates for us. And after those, his stories for the week. Get out your scorecards. Here is Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. John enters the top 60 with 13 stories, just behind B. Spade enters the top 40 with 23 stories, just behind Lisa. Serendipity is a mere 2 stories from passing Anima. And Zachman is a mere 6 stories from passing Thomas. Story total 6,318. Story average 19.32. Same year my father was born. Up the Rabbit Hole, Part 7. He almost missed it. He had been able to retain, in memory, a proper name. Sure, not one of truly significant personal impact. Or was that true? Mr. Maugsley, earnest presenter of mathematical principles to the hyper-disinterested pupil, was in fact a seed of his future stoicism, a lifetime of explaining the complex to the perplexed. "My name is Adam," he said. "Goodbye, sir," said he. Back at his desk, Adam X mentally listed off possible explanations for his bizarre experience. Try as he may, what filled his mind was a deep desire to do it all again, and a continuation of a well-defined relationship. Part 38. "Again," cried Father Tony. He and Bannister pulled the widow to the edge of the bell tower floor. All were safely untethered from the hydrogen bag that now floated gently away from the twin churches. Despite lacking bravery, the dual congregations made up for it in enthusiasm. Song and dance broke out below. When things settled down, everyone's eyes were trained on Timmy, waiting for some sage pronouncement. All the disheveled lad could think to say, "God bless us one and all," generations later would nod as they read those words on the plaque below the statue of the Seven. Story 3, Rainmaker. 'Twas one of those stupid, aphromatic graphics. A poster in the office with the letter A in red and the letters G-A-I-N in black, in a proper lacquered frame. Just the insipid sub-prose a paper pusher would lock his black heart on. Danny move gold. Danny move junk. Danny push pork bellies. Danny trolled tech. Danny chopped up mortgages, ground them to dust, sifted through the pile, cleared his book by lunch. He promised the world as the stocks hit the floor, but what hit the floor under that poster was Danny, whose heart would not beat again. And by the way, that story has nothing to do with Danny Dwyer. And story 4, In Careful, Measured Steps. Again, demanded Madame Dupré. No, stop. Once again, first position, second position, arms curved. The sound of the staff marked the time, less audible to the wobbling notes that squeak from the victrola. Tiny units of equal time. It's all about again, mused Sabrina. The randomness of childhood ended at the tender age of 7, not the dance. Death had changed all things. She tried to recall it again. The last thing Papa said to her was so uninformed, it tended to float away. It took continual focus to keep it firm in her head and close in her heart. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. Since March is over, Mansi is going to have to come up with a new name for us all. I wonder what it will be.
Greetings, Wrecking Cubes. From Munzee, here on this, your last week as the Wrecking Cubes. I hope you've enjoyed the nickname. I know I have. But all good things must come to an end, and sadly, so does this joke. You ready for a story? Let's do it! Persistence by Christopher Monroe. If at first you don't succeed, try again. If you still don't succeed, stop. Just stop. You can't be good at everything. There will always be things where no matter how hard you try, you'll fail, and fail spectacularly. And that's okay. Nobody's expected to be good at everything. If you fail over and over, maybe it's time to quit. Not popular advice, but good advice. It's about opportunity cost, after all. So yes, try and try again. But past that point, don't be fanatical. Quit while you're ahead. Because quitters do win. They just win at something different. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzeeMunzee. Good night to you, my sweet, sweet Wrecking Cubes. A choir of Mileys sing you to your sleep. See you next month.
Thank you, Mansi. Chelsea has decided to come back for another week. This is wonderful. Some fresh blood. Everybody put your hands together for Chelsea.
Again, by Chelsea. She looked up at him and said, "You have such beautiful eyes." "No," he said, cowering and trying to hide his face from her. "Yes," she replied, slowly tracing her fingers up his back and curling them into his soft, thick hair. "No," he replied again. This time, when he tried to hide, she pulled back on his hair to bring his face up to hers. "Yes," she said, and leaned in to kiss him softly and passionately before releasing his hair. "Don't even get me started on that smile," she said, kissing him before he could hide again.
Thank you, Chelsea. You may sit down now. Because it's Lizzie's turn to read. And she has a good one this week. Here we go.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? She had a toolbox full of aids, and these were shiny little blades. Mirror, mirror blocking the way, who will jump and who will slay? He tried to run as fast as the wind, but she was faster and got his skin. Mirror, mirror playing tricks, who forgets and who forgives? She looked around for more, all she got was a funky door. Mirror, mirror full of shades, I'll stay away, she uttered, twisting her braids in her own little private hell, a cell, again, a lonely cell. And this was my very silly story. Not even sure if it's a story, but okay. For this week, drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Since you all like to hear computer-generated voices so much, Serendipity is next. Next thing you know, we will do an auto-tuned version of Islands in the Stream together.
He lay in a rapidly expanding pool of his own blood, his life ebbing away as I watched him dying. It was unfortunate for me, there were witnesses, two of them. A young man and a woman, both of them now cowering in the corner of the room. And, as luck would have it, I only had one bullet remaining. Who should I shoot? The guy, or the girl? Either way, I was inevitably going to get caught. There was no escaping it. I sighed. And I placed the gun barrel to my temple. Before softly squeezing the trigger. Once again.
Thank you, Serendipity. Speaking of islands in the stream, how about some funky bass beats from Zach Mann? Make some noise, everyone.
Dylan, for the sake of whatever you hold holy, stop playing that album. It's been on constantly. You know, if I wanted to hear the same songs over and over repeatedly, I would turn on a Top 40 station. But I love this CD. I used to love that band too, but in the way your mother used to love snow before she spent a few winters in the upper Midwest. Since you're my favorite roommate, you know what I'll do? No, Dylan, but I hope it involves returning your mother's CD and never playing it another time.
Thank you, Zach Mann. Next, we have Neil. He come back, too. This is wonderful. Maybe there will be millions of writers by the end of the year. Until then, we will enjoy Neil.
Hello, I'm Neil Merton, and this is a story called Out of Date. It had been an ill time jump, and Dirk was about to die. He'd been told there'd be a bright white light, and then maybe he'd be taken to stand in front of St. Peter, or watch as his heart was weighed against a feather. But instead of his life flashing before him, two words appeared as his world went dark. Continue, YN. And a countdown. 10, 9, 8. Yes, he said as the numbers ticked lower. Yes, yes! On the edge of hearing, he caught, not that interesting. Eh, old crap. Let's play Street Fighter instead. Then silence. 3, 2, 1. So, if you like that, there are loads more at neilmerton.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Neil. Terra is next. What did you make for us, Terra? Let us look in your brain.
When I died, it ruined all my plans, except one. Time to practice my studies of the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Tunnel of light. Ignore it, it's just the random sparkings of my brain shutting down. Now the clear and smoky lights of the heavens and hells. Avoid them all. I intend doing better than that. Mild and fierce deities. Just say boo. Rebirth options coming up. This is the trickiest part. Not just getting a human rebirth, but a fortunate one. And this one. Oops. Third daughter of a Mongolian yak herder. Life on hard mode again.
Thank you, Terra. Not only does Spade bring us a new story, but he has a new website. The location is in the show notes. And your story is right here.
Hey, it's me, Spade, again. My story this week is called Mostly True Tales from the Navy, Part 4, Between Two Worlds. And here it is. Again she appeared, the girl with the flaxen hair and the sky blue eyes, imploring me to understand. The bear had come, his strong arms offering comfort in the uncertainty of the storm. Where was she to turn? What decision was hers? All sides had hidden intent. I reached for her, but she backed away and began sinking into the opaqueness of the sea. That's when I awoke. Somewhere in the western Pacific, fighter jets scrambling on the flight deck above the enlisted quarters rack, where I lay clinging to the recurring dream, holding my breath between two worlds again. This story and more are now posted at spatesgraffiti.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Thank you, Spade. I think that it is a good time to hear from Cliff. Here he is. Listen up good.
The master died yesterday, and we burned him today. I laid his body in the shed and sat with him as the house robots filled and surrounded the building with wood. The fire burned for hours, and, in the end, I sat next to charred bones. We carefully loaded them into a sturdy case for the journey. He believed that all life came from the sea and wanted his bones returned there. He felt that, once in the sea, he would be a part of life again. It is good to have a purpose, even if my master is gone. And here's another story on the topic again. When I heard the topic, I considered submitting a story that I had sent in before. That way, I could introduce it with the line, "Here's my story again," and then we'd all laugh at how clever I was. Except it probably isn't very clever. We wouldn't laugh. Few would remember my tale, even if I used the story from last week. And if someone did remember, it would be a fleeting thought before they were swept away by the next story, which likely is better than mine. So here I am, writing some drivel at the last minute. Again. Thanks. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Cliff. Now it's time for Sing. The Foreign Madam and the Yogi continue their adventures. Settle back and enjoy.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 27. In this installment, Yogi has gone to the local town Garmukteshwar and is being marketed by Barhai as a kind of travelling musical holy man. The wail of a house was first to call Yogi for satsang, some district belly of works, who ensures nothing will happen without eating his weekly hafta, a fat wad of hundreds stapled. Impresario Barhai gave White Yogi a makeover. Elegant cream, quilt shoulders, some silk to snake the neck with. Chauhan lugged the guitar case, grey and sleek as a dolphin, nosing past people, waiting seated on white linen. A tabla player came with the entourage of Yogi Guitarfish, sitting to tune both treble and bass, then dived down under. Yogi strummed and sang in a scale pelagic and solemn. Next day, it was a house behind the college. Mrs. Malhotra greeted at the door. The satsang started in her living room. Yogi sang his mishmash nonsense chant based on Sanskrit names for baby Krishna.
Gopala, Gopala, Devaki Nandana Gopala. La 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 go fa la 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 go very far.
said a word and clapped along. He was a foreigner. He went unquestioned. After they dropped rupees at his feet that Bard High later grabbed. Then on to the next, another home of Mrs. Middle Class. Bard High sold the Emperor's new clothes till day and nightly satsangs were the rage. Wealth and status tasted the first cream and lapped it up, meowing to the neighbours. Fame makes rings that spread across a town. All wanted to touch the robed and shoeless saint, gracing divans and nibbling their pakoras. Some even took their leavings as prashad. Yogi's azure eyes played their foreign part. He came and sat and smiled and sang, just glad that funds would flow back to the school. For most, he was every centimeter holy, while Barhai hid his Cheshire pleasure smirk. S.P. Agarwal, a high-ranking cop, invited Yogi inside. Aye, sir. Someone was waving a tray with burning ghee lamp, while others avalanched him with their ropes of cream and crimson flower-headed garlands. Yogi sang, then tried some smatter of Hindi. Then Agarwal came half-sobbing. Yogiji, my daughter is having bad pneumonia. Please, you come to the hospital and bless her. Yogi felt awkward and glanced across to Bardhai, who simply said, certainly, Agarwal Sahib. Approval murmured through the gathering like wings of fluttering pigeons in a coop. Thus Yogi was driven to the medical centre. As soon as passing through the swing-bang doors, Yogi did not want to be there. Fenol pinched his nose, flooding him with childhood's asthma stints that gasped in hospital. But he could not say, as Agarwal charged ahead, his feverish 3-year-old and fraught wife were in the children's ward. He implored. Nurse Whitecap nodded to Dr. Whitecoat, glancing at White Yogi. Practitioners of priestcraft, different schools. Doctor says, go in, Nurse Whitecap said. She is in Jesus' hands. An Indian Christian. Bardhai steered Yogi through the breezy porthole doors, and the phenol odour made him retch again. Bless my little baby, the mother said, bobbing to touch his feet. But Yogi felt fraudulent as that day beside the Ganges when a villager humbly kneeled for blessing as if he was a meditating sadhu. Belief in holiness, he hoped, would be enough, not in him, and prayed to God to save her. He felt it wrong, but touched the fontanelle. The baby murmured, surprising him. Was this gurgle proof he was a conduit? Please, Nurse Whitecap said, she must be resting now. The khaki superintendent was overcome and thrust a wad of notes in Bardhai's hand. Within one day, the Agarwal baby lungs were suddenly clear of noctilucous blotches. Whitecoat blinked. Nurse Whitecap said, praise Jesus. No phosphor specks shined in the X-ray dark. But I went to Yogi. The God has blessed you. Look, I'm glad that she has pulled through, but she was lucky, Bardhai. Why to doubt? You may have healing hands and God knows only. Yogi listened. The idea of having a gift was pleasing vanity, although the ego shrugged. If you are praying for the people with a pure heart, what is wrong in it? The God bestows. Word spread fast of Yogi, the singing saint with the healer's touch. Bardhai's phone kept ringing while Chauhan turned secretary. Calls for home satsangs went ballistic, so they invented the 15-minute stop. Yogi did his job, listening to requests for better health, jobs, or having a son. Barhai advised to nod and smile and touch bowed lady heads or pat the backs of men. With the wish stream came the flow of cash. It was clear transaction, blessings for money. Embarrassed first, Yogi then rationalized how Barhai was collecting for the school and kept aloof from any money handling. The monsoon rains kept the campaign going, short bursts of cold shifting to rising steam. Overly busy, Yogi neglected Margaret and wondered if she was coping in the village. He thought to write and ask Barhai to send it somehow. The roads were still deep ruts of mud. "Of course," said Barhai with all confidence, salving Yogi's conscience on the surface. He missed her badly, thinking of her at night, now a past life friend. With thoughts disturbed, his head became a guilty chat room, so drew a Gita card for calm. Divine descent, the avatar call coming from age to age. When wickedness consumes the ways of humankind, I descend to end dystopia with Dharma saving the pious. The card evoked discord, apocalypse, a dynasty's royal end of noble days. Krishna, the eighth avatar from Vishnu, walks the knife edge, copper age, and iron, the maintenance man of cosmic renovation. The godhead warhead unleashes annihilation, a fire machine scorched earth policy. It was a cleansing card, a reality check. He wondered how it weighed upon his marriage. Tied with cold and hot tap running weather, these monsoons and the so humid steam baths might somehow cleanse the dirt pores of his life. Darling, so we are apart for now, to start again with new leaves coming on the tree. You wanted me to go and do and be someone you could be proud of, but without you here or me returning, are we moving with one map? It's hard to see the way through mud and rain. It's hard to hold on to the hope we're still viable. I long for you each night and miss your neck, your arms, your legs. My hands are lost. I miss the nest where we end all our questioning and want to be at rest. Yogi. Yogi told just how things were. Margot, his darling other half, shouldn't feel he did not love her. Yes, he was her moon calf. Maybe he did not know himself. Words too often try to hide what should be simple, off the shelf, private and bona fide. If roads were blocked with mud and grime and kept him in this town, he would now write from time to time about what was going down. Sealing his letter, he went to Barhai. "Can you get this sent today?" Barhai took it. "I will try, G." Then he locked it away. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress. For more of my work, check out chrismooneysing.com or check the program notes. Until next week.
Thank you, Sing. Try to guess who is next. That's as right. Norval Joe. Let's as listen to his story and enjoy some root beer floats.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 410 with a prompt of again. Well, here's my story. Durgle pulled up to his house. Two minivans filled the driveway. Walking to the front porch, he could see there were no dachshunds in the kennel, only poodles. A family answered the door. "No, we've always lived here," a young man said with a smile. As Durgal walked away, bewildered, a little girl said, "Remember, you can do anything if you just believe." He turned to Long John Silver and asked, "If the formula for everything is just to believe, do you think the converse is true?" Durgal realized, by not believing in himself, he had accidentally erased himself from existence. So I wonder if anyone else came up with that idea. We'll find out tomorrow, or I'll find out tomorrow. You may know today. Here's my real story. Durgal held open the driver's door to his Volkswagen microvan and waited for Long John Silver to hop onto the bench seat and crawl across to the opposite door. The wiener dog waited for his master to climb in and close the door before he lay his muzzle on Durgal's leg. "I don't know, boy," he said, scratching the dog's head. "I don't think I can start over again from the beginning. No place to live, no money, and no job. What options do we have?" Long John asked. Durgal just shook his head and said, "I sure hope I'm dreaming." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Next week. Again, again.
Thank you, Norval Joe. We missed Danny last week, but he is back in time for this week. I am glad he made it. Here is his story.
Is this thing on? Oh, good. Yeah. Shh. There's people in the house trying to sleep. So be quiet. And hello, hello. It's Danny Dwyer here. Yada, yada, yada. And I'm here with Weekly Challenge 410. Again. Please say hello to Tara for me. I swear, if flying from Tampa to Newark was half the cost of a bus ticket from New York Port Authority to Chicago, and the flight time was only one-tenth of the time it takes to get from Manhattan to New Jersey during peak rush hour traffic, I swear I would totally be there within 73 hours. But only if my math is correct. I've always noticed that people who can't drive worth a shit are always smiling at me while they run me off the road. But their smiles, again, they were so convincing. And that's my story for this week, and if you don't like it, well, you don't like it. And I don't even know what to say about you not liking my stories, so I know. Why don't you visit DannyDwyer.wordpress.com? And then you can read all the stories that you're repulsed with as long as you want and throw as many comments as, you know, just swear at me. Don't even put meaningful comments. Just like, you know, say the F word 17 times, post it in a comment to me, but end it with the words, "Yours truly," because it makes it sound like it's more from the heart, and I would really appreciate that. So have fun. See you later.
Thank you, Danny. Rick almost didn't get his story in time, but I woke up late. Which means you get to hear it in the show. Otherwise, you would have heard it in a post on the feed on its own. Here is Rick, right on time.
Happy Sunday to all. Rick Thomas in Fort Myers here. Always happy to get my creative exercise. Today's weekly challenge is again. She paused at his door. Again. Her friend said he was too old. They were right. He wasn't an attractive man. He didn't have much money. He lived in a small apartment. No one seemed to understand. In that small apartment, she could talk and someone would listen. She could cry and someone would comfort her. she could be wrong, and there was someone who would forgive. She could sing, laugh, and dance, and someone was there to sing, laugh, and dance with her. She could just be who she was. With a smile, she knocked on the door again.
Thank you, Rick. Finally, we have come to the last story in this weekly challenge. It is by Planet Z. Enjoy.
Ah, Ocean Base One. You are a grand and majestic city, afloat in the Pacific. Such good times we had. They say you can never go home again. But this does not stop me from dying. The Russians sank Ocean Base One during the Putin Wars. But 7,000 feet is child's play these days. We started a Kickstarter to raise it back up, and we're nearly funded. The radiation, on the other hand, isn't so easy to fix. But I've got a good radiation suit. And when I find my old teddy bear, I'll encase it in lead shielding.
And there you have it. All the stories on the topic of again that you could possibly ever want. We had a lot of great stories this week. If you liked what you heard, leave a comment on the website. At 1adayuntilthedayidie.com. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. I look forward to hearing what you come up with for next week's topic, private. Until then, thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.